Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tzadik Aleph, and we are 24 lines from the top of Daf Tzadik Aleph Omer Aleph Toshma. So we're learning Perek Gid HaNosha. The topic, of course, is the Isser of Gid HaNosha. The Mishnah says that the Isser Gid HaNosha is Noyeg in the Yerech Shal Yamin and the Yerech Shal Smol. So it's the right thigh of the animal and the left thigh of the animal. Both Gid HaNoshos, so to speak, are Osir. Mishnah stating that, the Gemara said, Masis and the Lake Rabbi Yehuda, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda said in a Braisa, Eino Noyeg Ela Ba'achas. Rabbi Yehuda said that there are not two Gid HaNoshos in the same animal, but rather only one of them is Osir. Which one? And Rabbi Yehuda used an interesting Lashon. He said, Bahadas Machras Eshel Yamin. The Das is machras, that it's the right one. And the Gemara wasn't sure what that meant. Did Rabbi Yehuda mean, when he said das Torah, as if to say that even though without the Torah Shavar Peh, it would be difficult to know which Yerech is the Yerech, stating that das Torah says it's the right one. In other words, we know with 100% certainty that it's the right Yerech, that's the one that the Torah said is Aser. Oidilma, when he said das, he meant das Noita. He wasn't really sure. He said that if I had a guess, you'd ask me, I would think it's the right one, thus it's going to be the right one. But he wasn't 100% sure, meaning it's only going to be Aser, the right one will be Misaf. Lamai nafkamina, is the left one also asim misafik? Another nafkamina, if somebody eats the Gid HaNosha of the right Yerech of the animal, is he going to get Malkus or is he not going to get Malkus? If Rabbi Yehuda's Mifshat Pshitale, because Hadas Machras means Das Torah, then he's going to get Malkus. If, however, Das means Das Noita, but really Sfuke Mesafkale, he's not 100% sure. If that's the case, he's not going to get Malkus. Either way, the Gemara had a lengthy discussion to try to figure out what exactly is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and we have one last Toshma to this part of the sugya. Says the Gemara, Achal Beis Gidin, a braisa. If somebody eats two gidim, mi beis yerechos, mi beis behemos. And Rashi explains that what happened was somebody ate the right Gid HaNosha of an animal, and then he ate the right Gid HaNosha of another animal. So the person ate two Gid HaNoshas, but it was from two different animals. They were both the right side. So what's the halacha? So if you pay, you get 80 malchus. Makes sense. Two separate isurim of Gid HaNosha. If somebody would eat two kizeis of an avela, he would get 80 malchus. If somebody eats two Gid HaNoshas, he gets 80 malchus. You don't remember. He says, "Ainis levig al arba." No, you only get 40 malchus. Says the Gemara, "Midakam beis reichs beis behemus pshitid shavai liyisura." Clearly, we're talking about where both of them were the right one, right, as in the right side. Stating that, what's the halacha? Rabbi Yehuda itzterich, and you see, you needed them both to be the right for Rabbi Yehuda, because according to the Chacham, it doesn't matter if it's the right or the left, either way you're going to get malchus. Meaning if you would eat two yerechos of the same animal, you'd also get 80 malchus. You'd get 40 for the right and 40 for the left. The reason the braisa is making an akimta where the two Gid HaNoshes he ate were both the right, it's because there's a Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, which we know holds that the Issa Gid HaNosha is only the right Gid HaNosha. Now we're not sure what the Pshan in Rabbi Yehuda is, but we know for sure what Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is. His Shita is that it's only the right one. Now what do you see Rabbi Yehuda holds? You get malchus. Oh, shmami no, mifshut pshitale, shmami no. You see that from Yehuda holds, you get malchus, feeding the right one, that must be that it was pashut to him that the right one is the one that's Aser. It's for that reason you get malchus, because if it was spooky misafkale, whether it's the right or the left, and when Rabbi Yehuda said the right one, it was because of Adas night, but he wasn't 100% sure. So if he wasn't 100% sure, how could he get malchus feeding the right one? Maybe it's really the left one. So you see clearly that it's mifshut pshitale, says the Gemara, shmamina, mifshut pshitale, shmamina. We get the double shmamina, but the Gemara says, vi pshitale, a very obvious question. If you want to be mechiach from this braisa, the Rabbi Yehuda knew with 100% certainty, and when he said Hadas Noita, he meant Das Torah is Noita, that the Isser Gid HaNosha is the right one. So why in this case, when you ate and then ate again, do you only get 40 Malkus? You should get 80 Malkus. What's the difference between Shitas Rabbi Yehuda and Shitas Rabbanan? It's true, according to the Rabbanan, it wouldn't matter if you ate a right and a right. Even if you ate a right and a left, you would get 80. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you eat a right and a right, it's the equivalent thereof to the Rabbanan eating a right and a left. So the Chayra, why do you only get 40 Malkas? You should get 80. V'pshitale amai soifik mem v'suloi l'lkipeh. So the Gemara Hachuk Mayaskin, and you have to make an akimta. We had this already in Perek Behemah Makasha. You're going to less pay kazayas. It's talking about where one of the two Gidanoshas didn't have a kazayas, and this is Rabbi Yehuda v'shitase. Tanya learned the price. So achav emay kazayas. Somebody eats, and there's no kazayas. Chayiv, you chayiv anyways. Rabbi Yehuda says, achiyeh by kazayas. No, there has to be a kazayas. And if there's no kazayas, you are not going to be chayiv. Either way, says the Gemara, that from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda said Mefurish and Abraisa, that if you eat the Yerach Shal Yumin, you get Malkus, that's a riot, that it was Mifshat Pshitale, that it's the Yerach Shal Yumin, not the Yerach Shal Smoil. And when Rabbi Yehuda used this interesting Lashon of Adas Noita, that, or the Das Machras, that it's Shal Yumin, what he meant was Das Torah's Machriah. He didn't mean that it's a suffix. If that's the case, you eat a right and a right, shouldn't you get 80 Malkus? Yeah, if there was a shear in each achila, you would get 80 Malkus. Hacha b'mayaskinon, where there wasn't a shear, and essentially then this Rabbi Yehuda, and this price is coming to teach me two chedushim. Number one, he's teaching me mifshat pshitale, because there's another Rabbi Yehuda which is unclear. Here he's coming to say, you get Malkus for eating the right git hanosha, because mifshat pshitale, that it's the right one and not the left one. Another thing you see from here is that there's a shear. It's possible sometimes to eat from the git hanosha and not get Malkus. That's a kiddush, because Rabbanon argue. So really, Rabbi Yehuda said this halacha in the way he said it to teach me two chedushim. Number one, mifshat pshitale, that it's the right. Number two, to teach me this concept that sometimes you can eat from the gedanosh and not gemach. Isn't that poshit? Don't you always have to eat a kazayas? That's true for most machalas asuras. But gedanosh happens to be one of the exceptions of the rule. The chachamim say, even if you eat pachas me kazayas, still you get malchus. We'll see that sugya later in the perek. But for now, Yehuda v'shitasa was coming to say that sometimes you can eat two gedanoshes, and instead of getting 80 malchus, you only get to get 40 malchus. Either way, from here until the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to discuss the context of the Isser Gidanasha, and that is, of course, the battle between Yaakov Avinu and Sarai Shalesa that's mentioned in Parshas Vayishlach. So I think as a Hakdama, it's worth just chazering over some of the psukim over here, as they are going to be the context of the remainder of today's daf. So the story of this battle between Yaakov and Sarai Shalesa is mentioned in Parshas Vayishlach. Parshas Vayishlach begins, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefonav El Esav Achiv Arzo Seir Sedei Edoim. Yaakov is heading towards Seir, which is where Esav lives, and he realizes that there's going to be an encounter. He knew that Esav was upset at him for stealing the brachas, and he was afraid. He was afraid of this encounter with Esav. So Yaakov goes into very great, precise detail to set up a system where hopefully he'll be able to bribe Esav and try to get on his good side, and the worst case scenario, they have an escape option. But the point is that Yaakov is setting himself up. He's marching towards Esav. The pasuk says that Yaakov and his family crossed a river, the river of Yabok. Yaakov then realizes that he left something on the other side of the river. Says the pasuk, he goes back by himself to get what he left. What did Yaakov leave? The pachim ktan. And at that moment, Yaakov was by himself. He went back without an escort. He was by himself on the other side of the river. He's going back to retrieve these pachim tanim that he left behind en route to Esav. Says the pasuk that when Yaakov was by himself, vayovik ish imoy ad halois hashachar, a man came, an ish, and he started fighting with Yaakov, and they fought through the night. When this ish, who Chazal say was a malach, and it was none other than Sarai Shalesav, saw that he wasn't able to defeat Yaakov, you'd think a malach versus a man, it shouldn't be much of a fight. But when he realized that he couldn't defeat Yaakov, he hit him in his thigh. He dislocated his thigh during this battle. And finally, the Malach, again, seeing that this isn't going to be as easy as he thought, and Yaakov seems to have him in an embrace, so he tells Yaakov, Shalcheni, you have to let me go. I can't be here anymore. It's morning. Why? We'll see in the Gemara. You're not going off so fast. He says, at this point, we fought already.
I'm limping. You're going to have to give me a bracha before you leave. So the Malach says, what's your name? He told him, your name from here to four is not going to be Yaakov anymore, but rather your name is going to be Yisrael. And the reason is, because the word Yisrael suggests that you were able to be a sar, and sarisa im elokim the manoshim vatuchal. Rashi says that when Sarish al Esav told Yaakov, your name's not going to be Yaakov anymore, but rather it's going to be Yisrael, there was an admission over here that Esav was being maskim to the fact that Yaakov took the brachas. Why was Yaakov called Yaakov? What did Esav say? Vayakveni zeh pamayim. He was trying to tell him, this is Sarish al Esav. He said, it's not Yaakov anymore, you're right. I take that back. It's okay. I'm moichel. I'm maskin. You're supposed to get the brachas. I'm not supposed to get the brachas. Either way, vayishal Yaakov, vayyom magida nosh mecha. Okay. I told you my name. My name is Yaakov. And what's your name? Vayyom elom ezet tishal eshmi. Why ask me my name? Vayyavarach ha'isasham. And he gave him a bracha. Vayikri Yaakov shem amokim paniyah. Yaakov named the place where this battle took place, paniyah, ki ro'isi elikim ponim el ponim vatinatz al nafshi. Because he came face to face with an angel. Vayizrach le'ashemesh. Pasuk continues and says that the sun shone. Ola ha'shachar. Kasha ovar es penuel. Futzalei al yurechen. Yaakov was limping. Okay, it's because of this episode, says the Torah, one pasuk, we do not eat the sciatic nerve of the animal. Because it's in that area, it's in the thigh. Ad hayoyim hazeh, until today, ki noga bekaf yerech Yaakov begid hanasha. And then the pasuk resumes with Yaakov's encounter with Esav. Either way, it's because of this parasha, tucked away, several psukim of parashas by Yishlach, that we have the iser of gid hanasha. On that note, Zokta Gemara, so we have Machleik is Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether the Issa Gid Hanosha is only the Gid Hanosha from the right Yerech of the animal, Shita's Rabbi Yehuda, or it's from the right and the left. Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is the right, the Chachamim Shita is both. Says the Gemara B'Tamamai. So now that we clarified the lumdus of Shita's Rabbi Yehuda, Hasra Safik, and all the different ideas that the Gemara talked about, but what's the Pashim Shah? Why would it only be the right Gid Hanosha? Why not the left? Oh, my Rabbi. Omakro, Rabbi Yehuda Darshan, the pasuk. It says, "Al kein lo yoichu b'nei Yisrael es gid hanoshe asher al kaf hayorech." Hayorech with the hey ayedia, it means hay miyumenesh abiyarech. It means the most chashiv of the thighs, which is the most chashiv. It's always the right. Rabbanan says the Gemara, what does hayorech mean? It doesn't mean the most chashiv. It doesn't mean the right versus the left, but rather it's coming to identify which gid it is. Ahu de poshet isure bekula yerech lafuch kechitzoin deloy. We're going to see in the coming dafin the more technical aspects of the gid hanasha, that there's really two gidin that technically, theoretically, can be the gid hanasha. And there's one gid that goes along the entire thigh. There's another gid that only goes through part of the thigh. Hayorech is emphasis not on which thigh, but rather emphasis on which gid in the thigh. It's the one that goes across the entire yerech. That's how you're supposed to know which one it is. It's the gid ha-pnimi. It's not the gid ha-chitz. And again, we'll see more about that. Says the Gemara, Reb Shuba Levi, Reb Shuba Levi had a different makar. He said, you know, Reb Yehuda knew that it's the right yerech and not the left. Oh my God, because the pasuk says, behei ofkoi imoy. It says the Yaakov fought with the Malach. How did they fight? Behei ofkoi imoy. What does that mean? Ka adam shech. They were hugging each other. So Yaakov and the Malach are hugging, they're fighting. And when two people are hugging and fighting at the same time, so if you want to hit somebody, you would wrap your hand. So, assuming the Malach is a righty, so he wraps his right hand around Yaakov's body and he's going to hit him on the thigh. Which thigh is he going to hit if he's wrapping around him? So if you can visualize it, he's going to hit him on his right thigh. So being that he hit Yaakov in his right thigh, so Rabbi Yehuda held in Svara, it makes sense that if there's an Issa Gid Hanasha, and it's because of what happened to Yaakov's thigh, that the Issa Gid Hanasha should be the Gid that's in the right thigh. Right? It makes perfect sense. Rabbi Shmuel ben Chmeini, Amar Shmuel ben Chmeini, said a very similar thing to what Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi said. And he said, that the reason it's the right thigh, it's because that's where the Malach of Esav hit Yaakov. Why did he hit him dafk in the right? Maybe he hit him in the left. It's because the Amamar, Yisrael shenit v'leilevi kechavim v'aderech, taifu liyamina. It's because when Yaakovinu saw the Malach, he didn't realize it was a Malach. What did he see? He saw an ish, and he starts fighting with the ish. Only afterwards he realizes that he's a malach. But he thought at the time that it was an ish. What type of person was he? Was a heinishi? Like, what was he exactly? So said Shmuel ben Achmeni, it was kovik chavim did malai. He thought it was an kovik chavim. He thought it was an. And the halacha is that if you see a non-Jew, you're walking with him. You're supposed to walk to his left. So these are the pagans of once upon a time. They were chashan on shvichas davim. So you don't want to stand to his right side. You want to stand to his left side in case he makes a move at you, so you'll be able to protect him with your right side, which is your stronger side. The point is, Yaakov Avinu thought that he was an Oivik Echavim, so he was standing to the left of the Malach, which means that if the Malach would have hit him, he would hit him on his right side. So he obviously hit him on his right side. That's what Esek Gedanosh is. Rav Shmuel Bar Acho Kamed, Rav Papa Meshved, Rav Bar Ula Amar, also similar. Kitamud Chacham did Malai. No, he didn't see Yaakov did the Malach as a Oivik Echavim, but when he looked at him, he thought he was a Talmud Chacham. And being that he thought he was a Talmud Chacham, he walked on his left side. The Amar Maram Halach Limin Rabbi, he raised a boor. If somebody walks to the right of his Rebbe, he's a boor, meaning he's supposed to walk to your left side. See, Yaakov Avinu thought he was a chash of a person, so he stood to his left. If he stood to his left, so again, when the person was going to hit him, he hit him on his right side. That's why this ended up happening on the right side. Rabbanan, what did the Rabbanan hold? Rabbanan hold that Yaakov wasn't standing to the left of the Malach. He wasn't hugging the Malach, but rather the Malach came from behind and he hit him on both sides. And that's why both sides are going to be aser. In other words, the spear in the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether it's the right Gid Hanasha or it's the right and the left Gid Hanasha, is simply based on hashtag rest of the story. What happened? Rabbi Yehuda holds that what happened was the Malach hit Yaakov on his right thigh. If you hit him on his right thigh, so that's why the halacha is that you only don't eat the right Gidanasha. How did he know that he hit him on the right? So either he learned it from Vayyovik. Vayyovik is mashma, they were hugging and he wrapped his right hand around to hit him on his right side, or Kavikachavim did Malai, Katamud Chacham did Malai. But the point is that he hit him on the right side. Being that he hit him on the right side, that's why it's the right side that's us. Chacham hold no, he hit both. But whatever happened in the story of Yaakov and Sarah Shal Esav, that's what's going to manifest itself as far as what the Is is going to be. Says the Gemara of Rabbanan, Hai Be'ofki Imoi, my Darsh Be'er. Shuban Levi said that the Makar to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's the right thigh, not the left thigh, is Be, because it says Be'ofik. And what does Be'ofka Imoi mean? He wrapped around him and hit him on the right side. Rabbanan obviously didn't darshan that, because Rabbanan held that he hit him on the right and the left. So what then do they take from the word Be'ofka Imoi? It seems to be an interesting choice of words. So Chazal felt that it must be coming to teach me something. Says the Gemara, yeah, Melamed is coming to teach me that the dust of this fight, it ascended up to the Kisei HaKavod. And it says another pasuk of Anon Avak Raglov. Either way, that is the Bir in the Machlokes. Before we go weiter, I saw in the Chassam Sofer a Dover Nifla, something that only someone on the caliber of the Chassam Sofer could say. So Vayyovek Ish Imoi, and we have a Machlokes in the Gemara. When Yaakov Avinu sees Sarish Alesov, one man, the Omar, says, Ka'ovet Ka'ichavim Nidmalai. Another man, the Omar, says, Ketalmud Chacham Nidmalai. Zok Tachsam Seifer. That Yaakov Avinu was forced to battle with Tzar Yishal Esav. It must be because there was some chet, Kefi Madre Gosei Shal Yaakov, that Yaakov Avinu had done that required tikkun, that allowed the Samach Mem, Tzar Yishal Esav, to enter his life and give him a real fight. Says the Chassam Sofer, Yaakov Avinu at that point had two averes. The first aver is Yaakov Avinu was married to two sisters. He was married to two sisters. In fact, the Chassam Sofer says, Vayeyovik ish imoy, avak, aleph beis kuf, right? The Gemara is darshaning the word avak, is Rosh Tevis oispris kodesh. And on some level, Yaakov Avinu was nichshal in the oispris kodesh because he was married to two sisters. The other avera was that Yaakov Avinu had just come back from learning in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever. And when he was learning in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever, he was away from his family for 22 years. And during those 22 years, he didn't do the mitzvah of Kibbut Aveh. Says Ramban, how is Yaakov Avinu allowed to marry two sisters? Says the Chassam Sofer, quoting the Ramban, it's because Yaakov Avinu was a Benayach. And being that he was a Benayach is allowed to marry two sisters. And even though the Ovis kept Kala Torah Kula, Ekev, Asher Shom Avram B'Koyli, Afilu Erev Tavshilu, but that was only in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban says, as you saw it throughout his Pirush Al HaTorah, that the Ikur Kiyum HaMitzvahs is meant in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Laretz. Today, we have to keep mitzvahs even in Chutz Laretz because we said Nasa V'Nishma. But before Matan Torah, where there was no obligation to keep Torah mitzvahs, so the Ovis were only makbid to keep Torah mitzvahs when they were in Eretz Yisrael. Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, if they thought that it made more sense to violate a halach in the Torah, they did. They weren't obligated to keep the Torah mitzvahs. The ikar kiyum ha mitzvahs is anyways in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu was in Chutz La'aretz. Amina was in Chutz La'aretz. He was allowed to marry two sisters. The Ramban says that's why as soon as Yaakov Avinu came to Eretz Yisrael, Rachel died. Because as soon as they were in Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't shayach anymore for Yaakov to be married two sisters. But the point is, because Yaakov Avinu had a din of a ben noyach, says the Ramban, and being that he had a din of a ben noyach, that's how he was allowed to marry two sisters. Yaakov Avinu didn't do kibbutz of the aim for 22 years. How did he not do kibbutz of the aim for 22 years? How's it possible? Says the Gemara Masechtas Megillah, it's because Yaakov Avinu was learning Torah, and God will tell me Torah, he always said me keep it up. It's because Yaakov Avinu is an Ishtam Yoshev Eholim. Yaakov represents the Amud HaTorah. Yaakov is the quote-unquote Talmud Chacham, and as a result, Yaakov Avinu was part of from keep it up. That means the two Averos, the Avera of marrying two sisters, and the Avera of not doing keep it up. One was because of Yaakov Avinu's status of a Menoyach, the other one was because Yaakov Avinu's status is of a Talmud Chacham. Says the Chassam Seifer Mamish Dover Niflo. He says that's the beer in the Gemara. One man Dama says it was Keben Noyach Nidmolay. It was Koivet Keichavim. This was a remnant to the fact that Yaakov Avinu's needs tikkun for the fact that he married two sisters because of his Dedin Ben Noyach, and that's why the Sari Shalais have had a koyach against him. And that's Avak Oisfris Koydish. Says the Chassam Seifer. The other man Dama says Ketamud Chacham Nidmolay. That was Tachas, the fact that he needed tikkun for the fact that he was a Talmud Chacham for sitting and learning. It's true. The Gemara says God the Talmud Torah Yoisem Mekibet Aveim. But Yaakov Avinu on his Madrega required tikkun even for that. It's true he was learning, but at the end of the day, he wasn't with his parents, and that's why it was Ketamut Chacham, Nidmalai, Amish, Dvarim Niflam. Either way, Zok, the Gemara, Vaita, Amrab, Shuvam, Shuvam, Hendaevi, Lomadikrish, my Gid Anasha. So, why is the Gid Anasha called Gid Anasha? Right? So, if you're expecting a really fancy pshat, says the Gemara, very posh, it's a Nasha Mim Kaimai, because the Nasha, it slipped out of place. So, Nasha doesn't mean anything more than that. It just means Nasha, it's out of place. For all of a Chenuayim, Nashsa Gvurasam, they lost their Gvura, Hayul Anashim, they were weak like women. Amr Abyes, Reb Chadina, Maidach Ziv, Tov Ashalach Biyakov, Vinafa Biyisrof, Tov Ashalach Biyakov, Zagid Anasha. Gid HaNosha of Yaakov slipped out of place. V'nafal b'Yisrael she'poshat isuroi b'chol Yisrael. And because of that, we have the third mitzvah in the Torah. You're not allowed to eat the Gid HaNosha. Or Yisrael Chanidim, Haydech Siv, U'tvoyach tevach v'hochein. So the context over this, we've had this pasuk already. Yosef, this is before he revealed himself to the brothers. They sit down and they prepare a suda. U'tvoyach tevach v'hochein. Says the Gemara. What did Yosef mean? He meant to tell him, problem based on Shechita. Show them. Yosef knew who the brothers were, and he knew that they kept Torah mitzvahs even before Matan Torah. He knew they wouldn't eat from the animal if they didn't have a proper Shechita. So he told his Gabbai, so he tells his Misharsim, the Avdei Pyra, he says, make sure you show them. I want you to show them that this was slaughtered properly. He wanted them to eat. What did he mean when he told them, V'hochein? I want you to remove the Gid HaNasha in front of them. Do Nikor. Because if you're not going to take the Gid HaNasha out in front of them, again, they're not going to eat it. Kemando Amen. The Gemara says, this must be going according to Manda, but holds Gid HaNasha Nesla B'nei Noach. This is already a sugi later. But the point is that it must be going according to Manda that says Gid HaNasha is also B'nei Noach. For Tois is the obvious question. Why did he show him the Shechita? No one holds that a Ben Noyach needs Shechita. It's because he knew that his brothers weren't going to eat without Shechita, because they kept Kol HaTorah Kula even before it was given. So if that's the case, maybe that's why he showed him that he removed the Gid HaNasha. Where do you see Commander Omar Gid HaNasha Nesel of Nei Noyach? Ayin Toises Dibura Maskel Commander Omar Gid HaNasha Nesel of Nei Noyach. The pasuk says Vayivase Yaakov Levades. Yaakov was by himself. Why was he by himself? Omar Abelazah Shenishtaira Pachim Tanim. Everyone knows this Gemara. He went back because he left Pachim Tanim. He can't. If you think about it, Yaakov put his life at risk to get Pachim Tanim. You see, tzaddikim, they value their money more than they value their guf. The kol kach lama, that doesn't make sense. It's because they're so scrupulous when it comes to money, and they're so makbid not to take something that's not theirs, that they have to value any honest dollar that they have, they hold on to, because it's not so simple for them to come by money. You see from here, the Talmud Chacham shlo yetzi yichid balayla, that a Talmud Chacham should not go outside by himself at night. Where do you see that? Yaakov Avinu was a Talmud Chacham. When did the Malach attack Yaakov? At night. In fact, vayyovik imoy ad alois hashachar. As soon as the sun rose, then the Malach rides off into the sunset. Well, sunrise. So he's out. So if he's not there anymore, is what happened. Oh, must be because Balaylo Yaakov's vulnerable. But once the sun comes out, he's not vulnerable anymore. So Mikan le Talmud Chacham Shelo Yetzi Yechidi Balaylo. Rabbi Barakadu Mehacham. Rabbi Barakadu learned that from there. It says Hine Hu Zoyre Es Gerin Asoyrim. So Nami tells Rus, when Nami is trying to have Rus approach Boaz, she tells her that go to the field, you know, when it's getting dark, and you're going to see that Boaz is going to spend the night at the field. How did Rus know that Boaz, or how did Nami know that Boaz was going to spend the night at the field? Oh, must be because Boaz was a Talmud Chacham, and she knew that Boaz would never walk home by himself, because the Talmud Chacham was not supposed to be outside Balaylo Yechidi. So as a result, she knew with certainty that Boaz was going to be there. So this is another source in Tanakh, in Torah Shebikhtav, to this idea that a Talmud Chacham is not supposed to be by himself at night. Rav Mehachi says, I have another raya. The context over there is that Keda, but Avram Avinu didn't leave at night. He went in the morning. Now Rashi says, yeah, Avram Avinu wasn't by himself. He had people with him, right? So Rashi says, you see, Avram Avinu didn't want to be at night even with people. So certainly you shouldn't be there by yourself. So Yaakov sends Yosef to try to find the brothers. And of course, the rest is history. So he goes out and he says, Re'e suggests that it was at a time when you'd be able to see, meaning it was during the day. So again, you have a makar that a Talmud Chacham is not supposed to go out by himself at night. Rav has another makar. It says, Vayizrach lo yashemesh. He says you can learn it from this pasuk itself. What does it mean, Vayizrach lo yashemesh? The sun rose. The sun rose. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Shalti es Rabbi Gamliel es Rabbi Yeshua be'itlis shel imon. He says, I once asked Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua in the itlis. Rashi says, an itlis is a shuk shemechrim b'basa. This is the shuk where they sell meat. So we were in the butcher shop. Why were they in the butcher shop? The Tanon. Right? You'd think they're in Bis Medrash. No. They were going to buy meat for the wedding of Rabbi Gamliel's son. And as they're there in the shuk, Rabbi Akiva turns to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. And he asks him the following question. The sun rose loy for Yaakov. Did the sun only rise for Yaakov Avinu? Didn't it rise for the entire world? What it means is that the sun that had set previously, prematurely for Yaakov Avinu, now was making up, and when it rose for Yaakov Avinu as well. Vayetze Yaakov miBer Sheva, vayelech Harana. See, Yaakov Avinu leaves Be'er Sheva and he goes to Haran. And then the pasuk says, Vayifka b'Mokem Ahu. And where was Mokem Ahu? Yaakov Avinu's davening, right? If you remember the chronology of the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, and Yaakov Avinu has a dream. And he wakes up and he realizes that he's in a very holy place. He had gone to sleep, literally, on Har HaMoriah. He had gone to sleep in the Mamakim HaMikdash. So what's going on? Yaakov Avinu was in Charon. Vayetze Yaakov miBer Sheva, vayele Charona. And then a few psukim later, vayifka b'Mokem Ahu, he's in the Makom HaMikdash, says the Gemara. Came out of Charan. When Yaakov Avinu came to Charan, he arrived in Charan. Omar, he said, "Efshar avarti amakom shusalu avoyis v'ani lo yispalti." He says, "I passed the Har HaMoriah. I went through Yerushalayim, and I didn't go daven. I didn't go to the Kaisel. How's that even possible?" So he realized he has to go back. When Yaakov Avinu made his way back to Yerushalayim, he had kfitzas aderech miyad vayifka b'makom. And thus, immediately, right after, shortly after he arrives in Charan, Yaakov is back in Eretz Yisrael. He's back in Yerushalayim. How did that happen so quickly? He had kfitzas aderech. Katzli, boy l'mahadah. So Yaakov Avinu daven, and after he daven, he wanted to go back to Charan. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, tzadik zeh balu beis maloinai v'yipata b'lei melina. This tzadik came to my hotel, so to speak, and he's gonna go away without sleeping first. Miyad, immediately, the pasuk says, "Bah Hashemesh," the sunset. The point is, the sun there had set prematurely. Why did it set prematurely? Because Hashem didn't want Yaakov to leave. So what did he do? How did he get Yaakov not to leave? He made the sun set. What does one have to do with the other? So the sun sets, he can't go at night. Oh, the answer is, you see from the Talmud Chacham is not supposed to be outside Balayla. Azoy Zakrah. But the point is that you see the sun had set prematurely, and that's why Yizrach Lo Yashemesh, that's Rabbi Akiva told Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, "Be'italiz shall imo'um shahol chulikach behema lemishta benoish." Rabbi Gamliel, he told him, "Ma'idik siva yizrach loy Hashemesh loy levadai zarcha." You're right; it's not loy levadai zarcha, but it's Shemesh Hashaka bavuroi was now zarcha bavur. We'll get back to that. So, ksiv. So, on the topic of the psukim in the beginning of Parshas Vayetim, we haven't had a daf like this in a long time. It says Vayikach me'avnei amotim. Ksiv, and it says, usually we're digressing from Hasra Suffolk to Trefus. Either Vayikach me'avnei amotim. It says Vayikach so Evan. Which one was it? Was it Vayikach me'avnei amotim, which is a Lashon Rabim, or is it Vayikach Eso Evan? Is it a Lashon Yochid? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, Milamich, and Eskaptu, Kolesim, Avon, Omok, Mechon. You see, from here, all the stones came to one place. V'cholachas, V'achas, and Merisalai. And they all started fighting. They all said, Aliyah, Nech Tzadik, Grosha. I want the Tzadik to lie on me. Tana, what ended up happening? V'kula, Nivlu, V'achas, all the rocks, all the stones became one. Thus, it was Vayikach me'avnei amakim, and it was also Vayikach eso evan. They were many that through this miracle, kulam nivla ubaachas, they all became one. Vayachalim, and the Yaakovinu has a dream. Vehine sulam mutzav arza. How big or how wide was this ladder? We know how tall it was. It was Mutzav Arza, V'roshem Magi HaShomayim, that the Pasuk says. But actually, how wide was it? Says the Gemara, Shmoyna Salafim Parsois. It was 8,000 Parsois wide. How do you know that? The Chsivi, Hine Malachi Elikim Oilam V'yardim. There were Malachim that were going up, and there were Malachim going down. How many Malachim were going up? So it says Malachi Elikim Oilam. It's a Lashon Rabim. How many were going down? Yardim, also Lashon Rabim. Oilim Shnayim. The Mi'at of a Rabim is always two. The Yardim Shnayim is also two. What would happen if they're both going up at the same time? So you're going to have four malachim on one rung of the ladder all at once. So the ladder had to be at least wide enough for four malachim to be able to be there at the same time. Two going up and two going down. Okay, so now we can do a little math. How wide is a malach? It says, v'gviyasei ketarshish. If they're as wide as Tarshish, Vigmiri, the Tarshish, Tre Alfi Parsiavi, 2,000 Parsois. Back of the envelope arithmetic. 2,000 times 4, 8,000. Thus says the Gemara, Tana, Kamer Chavesh al Sulam. How wide was this Sulam? Shmoinis Alafim Parsois. It must have been 8,000 Parsois. Tana, Oilin, Umestaklin, Bedukin Shomal. These Malachim, they were going up. And when they went up, they looked up and they saw the Kisei HaKavod. And you know what they saw when they looked up at the Kisei HaKavod? They saw Yaakov Avinu. They yard them, and then they come down. Umistaklim, they're right by Yaakov. And there's Yaakov again. Umistaklim b'dyuknei shalmata. Rashi says, why, when they looked up, did they see Yaakov Avinu? Zok Rashi, Partsuf Adam, Sheba'ar b'chayos, b'dmus Yaakov. In the Ma'aser Merkav, Yecheskel Perakalos, Yecheskel sees the Kisei HaKavod, and he sees the dmus of a lion and an eagle. And one of the things that Yecheskel sees is he sees the dmus of a person. Who's that person? It's Dmus Yaakov, right? Everyone knows the Chazal, that Yaakov Avinu's Dmus is Chokuk, Tachas Kisei HaKavod. Here you have a Makar. But either way, so the Malachi Hashores, they look up and they see Yaakov. Then they look down and they see Yaakov. Bolisakune, they wanted to harm Yaakov. Why? Zakrashi machmas kina. The malachim, who are not supposed to have kina, but the malachim were jealous. They were jealous of Yaakov Avinu. Miyad, the pasuk says, "V'hinei Hashem nitzav olav." The next pasuk says, "Hashem was right there." Why was Hashem there? Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakish, the Mali Mikra Kosev Yevshel Aymroi. That the pasuk not said this. We can never say this. Ka'adam Shemein Avel Benoi. What it means is Hashem was there to protect Yaakov Avinu. Literally, if there's a fire, so a father will fan the fire, try to do something to make the fire go away to protect his son, and that's why Hashem was there. So the malachim Elokim that are oilim v'yardim by, they actually wanted a harm Yaakov. They wanted to harm. They were jealous. Why? Because they looked up. They see Yaakov Avinu's Dmus is by the Kisei HaKavod. Then they look down and they see Yaakov. And they couldn't believe that this boss of a dog was on such a madrega that he's literally on the Kisei HaKavod. They wanted to harm him. V'hine Hashem nitzav olav. Hashem protected him. Hashem protected Yaakov. Pasuk says, Ha'oretz asherat ha'sheichev olav. So what does Hashem tell Yaakov? He tells him that the Oretz that you're lying on, l'cha etinena, says the Gemara, my Ravusa. If you think about it, say Yaakov Avinu was lying on the floor. How much ground is he lying on? So Rashi says, let's say Dalet Amis. So it sounds like what Hashem told him was Ha'orish, Asher Ata Sheikhavala, the Dalet Amis that you're lying on, I'm going to give to you. I mean, it doesn't sound like such a wonderful matana. You're going to get Dalet Amis, a few square feet. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Melamed. You see, from here, to give this Nevuah significance, you have no choice but to say, Shekipla Kodesh Baruch Hu L'chol Eretz Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu took the entirety of Eretz Yisrael, he folded it, V'hinicha Tachas Yaakov Avinu, he put it underneath Yaakov Avinu. What was the symbolism? The symbolism was like this would be easy one day for Yaakov Avinu's children to conquer Eretz Yisrael. That the whole Eretz Yisrael is going to be like Dalet Amis. So now we return to Parshas Vayishlach. So we jump from Vayishlach to Vayetze. Back to Vayishlach. So either way, back to Parshas Vayishlach. So after the struggle between Yaakov and the Malach, so the Malach tells Yaakov, you have to let me go. He says, why? Because the sun is rising and it's morning. I have to leave. Amaloi, so Yaakov tells him, Ganavata or Kufyustasata? Which one are you? Are you a Ganav or you're a Ganav Nefashis? Like you're on the run, you're a fugitive, and as a result, now that it's light, you have to go back into hiding because you're afraid someone's gonna find you. Shemis Yarvin Ashach, Amaloi, no, he said, Malachani, I'm not a Ganav, I'm a Malach. And from the day that I was born, like Giz Mani Lemashira Ad Akshav. And it just so happens, coincidentally, today is the day that I'm supposed to say Shira. So this Malach was not assigned a Shira until that morning. And he says, I have to go. This is my opportunity to say Shira. There are three groups of Malachas that say Shira every day. Achas Ameres Kodosh, Vachas Ameres Kodosh, Vachas Ameres Kodosh Hashem Tzvokos. So one says Kodosh, and then the other group says Kodosh, and then the third group says Kodosh, and gets to say Hashem Tzvokos. So we know that the Malachim are the ones that say Kodesh, 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 Hashem Tzvokos, Loichal Oretz Kevoide, and Vayfan V'chayis HaKodesh, Baruch Kvayit Hashem Kaimer. That who says this? The Malachim are the ones that say this. But the way it's set up is there's three groups. One says just the word Kodesh, the other says just the word Kodesh, and then the third one says Kodesh Hashem Tzvokos. Wait a minute, is that true? I'll ask you a kasha from a price. Meisvei. Chaviv Yisrael Fnei HaKodesh Baruch Hu Yoyis Malach Yashars. You see, HaKodesh Baruch Hu likes the Shira of Klal Yisrael more than he does the Shira of the Malachi Asharish. Yisrael, let me Shira b'chol Shah. The Yidin say Shira b'chol Shah. Malachi Asharish, you know, Shira l'pamachas b'yoy. Malachi Asharish only say once a day. V'amrilah, some say pamachas b'Shabbos once a week. V'amrilah, some say the Malachi Asharish can only say Shira pamachas b'chadish once a month. V'amrilah, some say pamachas b'shana. V'amrilah, some say pamachas b'shavua. Once a Shemitah, once every 7 years. V'amrilah, pamachas b'yoyvah. Once a yoyful. V'amrilah, some say pamachas ba'ilon. V'yisrael, maskiris, Hashem achshei tevas. Another place where you see that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has more chavivos from the Shira of the Yidden than he does from the Shira of the Malachi Ashar. It's because when the Yidden say Shira, they say it after two words. Shenema, Shema Yisrael, and then after two words, Shema Yisrael, they're already allowed to start saying Shira. Hashem Elikeinu, Hashem Echad. Malachi Asharis, Eim Askiris, Hashem Elacha Gimel Tevois. They have to say three words before they say Shira. Kedechsiv, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvokos. Additionally, they Malachi Asharis, Hashem Yisrael, Lamalo, Hashem Yisrael, Lamata. Malachi says, Nalai say Shira Lamalo until the Yidin say Shira Lamata. Shenema, Beron Yachad Koichvei Boiker. That's referring to Beron is the Rina of the Koichvei Boiker, of the stars. The Yidden on Nimshal Kechavim. So first the Yidden sing Shira Vahadar, and then afterwards Vayarinu Kol Bnei Elokim. Afterwards the Malachim say Shira. But the bottom line is, what part of this brisa do we need? The part of this brisa we need is the Meisave, the part that's a stira to the previous brisa, or to where Chanal Merav, Chanal son the name of Rav, that the three kitos of Malachi Asharis that say Shira every day. One says Kadosh, the other says Kadosh, and then the other one says Kadosh Hashem Tzavakos. The Brisa said that one of the ways that you see that it's more Chaviv to Hashem, the Shira of the Yidden versus the Shira of the Malachi Asharis, is that the Yidden are allowed to say Hashem's name after uttering two words, Shema Yisrael Hashem, as opposed to Malachi Asharis that have to say three words, Kodesh, 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 and then afterwards, Hashem Tzvokos. If the way the Malachim say Kodesh is that there's three groups, so one group just says Kodesh, the other group says Kodesh, they don't even mention Hashem's name. It's the third group that mentions Hashem's name. But when they mention Hashem's name, they only say one word first. They only say Kodesh. It's not that the Malachim are saying Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. It's Kaddish and then Kaddish. And then the third group that's going to mention Hashem's name is going to say it after only one word. So if anything, it's even more than the Yidden. The Yidden say Shema Yisrael. They have to say two words and then Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Over here, Elo says the Gemara, you're right. You have to say Achas Emeres Kaddish. You have to amend what Rav Chanan Merav said. The three groups of Malach Yeshars. One says Kaddish. V'achas Emeres Kaddish. V'achas Emeres Kaddish. Kaddish, Kaddish. Hashem Tzivakos. You're right. It's true. The Malach Yeshars cannot say Hashem's name until they say three words. Thus, the third group of Malachi Asharis that are going to mention Hashem's name have to say Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. For Irka Freik the Gemara, Baruch Kvoid, Hashem Im Kaimai. Baruch Kvoid is only two words. And then they say Hashem Im Kaimai. So the Gemara says, Baruch Eifanim Huda Amrile. It's not ordinary Malachim that say Baruch Kvoid Hashem Im Kaimai, but rather it's the Eifanim. But it's Daifanim. Tosfos says not only the Daifanim, it's the Chayas HaKodesh as well. But the point is, it's not the regular Malachim. Alternatively, even this Yav Rishusa is Yahuv. Meaning, once they say Kodesh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, they said three words preceding the Shem Hashem, then already they can mention the Shem Hashem. So if they would start by saying Baruch Kved Hashem Mekayim, it'd be a problem, because only two words. Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish is three words. Now they could say Hashem's name. Oh, once they can say Hashem's name, Kivan Disyad Vishusa is Yahav. Exhale. Either way, so the Gemara, in today's daf, we had some Agadah, where the Gemara went through Psukim in Parshas Vayetze, but really more related to the Sugya is Psukim in Parshas Vayishlach, specifically the psukim that deal with the battle of Yaakov Avinu and Sarai Shel Esav that relate to the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, that of course is the context of the Isser Gid Hanasha. So just to speak out some raid that relates to some of the Gemaras that we saw in today's daf. The Ramban has a hakdama to certain parashiyos in the Torah. One of the parashiyos that the Ramban writes a short hakdama to is Parshas Vayishlach. Says the Ramban, V'yesh pa oid remez l'dayres, that in Parshas Vayishlach there's a remez, there's a very important symbol that has impact to future generations. Ki kol ha-she'eru lo'avinu im Esav achiv, yeru lo'nu tamid b'nei Esav. He said that everything that Yaakov Avinu endured with his brother Esav, these little battles that were going on are really symbolic of battles that Yaakov Avinu's descendants, the Yidden, were going to have to endure together with Zarei Shel Esav. And it's for that reason that the Torah went into detail to describe what Yaakov Avinu did when he encountered Esav, because it's relevant. This is halacha l'maisa. To teach us that whatever Yaakov Avinu did, we should do. So for example, Yaakov Avinu, right in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, sets himself up with three things: Latfila, he davens, Hatzileni Nomi Yad Ochim Yad Esav, right? He katoyti mikol chasod mikol emes, he davens, uladoyrein, Vayishlach Yaakov Mincha, ulatzara b'dalach mechama, and then he worked out with tactics, just how to fight, in case that's what he needs to do. Levroyach linotzel, in case he's going to have to run away. And these are all things that we need to do for future generations. And there's many, many remozim to this, says the Ramban, here in Parshas Vayishlach. And the Ramban himself goes on to explain, right, this, the first Ramban of Parshas Vayishlach, he already talks about how the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach relates to Bayesheni, which was destroyed by the Romans, and the Romans, Chazal, had a Messiah with descendants of Esav. And regardless, says the Ramban, that this Parshas Vayishlach isn't just the story of what happened between Yaakov and Esav, but rather yesh bo remez l'doiros ki kol asha'eru lo'avinu im Esav achiv yera lanu tamin b'nei Esav. And this is of course consistent with one of the themes that Ramban mentions many times in his Pirush al HaTorah and Parshas Vereshis, and that is Maisa Ovis similar banim, that the lives of the Ovis were a microcosm of the lives that Klal Yisrael were going to live throughout the generations. And what may have seemed small and somewhat insignificant in the narrative of Parshas Bereishis has incredible ramifications for all future generations. Because what Avraham Avinu did when he went here, and what Yitzchak Avinu did when he went there, all were going to impact in major ways millions and millions of Jews for future generations. As it relates to Parshas Vayishlach, this is the Maisa of a similar banim of the Yidden in Golos, specifically in Golos with Esav. That's why the Sfarim referred to Parshas Vayishlach as the Parshas HaGolos, Hilchas Golos. is tucked away in Parashas Vayishlach. This is the point. The point is like the Ramban said, because Yesh Ba Oiremez L'Doyres Kol Asher Lavinu in Esav Achiv Yerolon Utamid Bnei Esav. And if you look at the Mefarshei Achumish and in the Svarim Akdoshim, there's so many remozim to this idea and so many takeaways. I saw the Chasam Sofer says that Yaakov Avinu davened. He said Hatzilenu Na Miyad Achiv Miyad Esav. Hatzilenu Na Miyad says the Chasam Sofer is Rosh Hatevis Haman. And he ties in that was a remez to the Purim story, to the struggle between the Yidden and Achashverosh and Haman. He says the Yaakov Avinu went back for Pachim Ketanim. He says the Pachim Ketanim are a remez to the Pach Katan of Shemen. This is the Hanukkah story. And he says, you see, there's so many remezes because all the Goliaths of Klaius are all merumas over here in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach. You know, we learned the Gemara. The Gemara says that when Yaakov Avinu leaves Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Harana, he's not only heading towards Haran, he actually arrives in Haran, says the Gemara, and then a moment later, he's davening in Eretz Yisrael. He's in Yerushalayim. He's on the Har Habayis. How's that possible? Says the Gemara, Melamed Shekavtzulei Aderech. You see from here that he had Tfitzas Aderech. And Chasam Soibah makes a very interesting observation. This is not the first time in Sefer Bereshis where you find Kvitzas Aderech. There's a few parashas earlier, Eliezer Eved Avram is on his way to Rivka, and he had Kvitzas Aderech. He says, V'ovoi hayoim ala'ayim. Hayoim says, Rashi, yeah, tell it with me. How'd you get this so fast? He says, yeah, you got this so fast. It's because he had Kvitzas Aderech. Melamed Shekavtzulei Aderech. Says the Chasam Sofer, it's interesting. Eliezer got Kvitzas Aderech when he was on his way to do his shlichus. So he's on his way to Rivka. He has Kvitzas Aderech. Yaakov is Vayelech Yaakov Miber Sheva Vayelech Haran. He doesn't have Kvitzas Aderech. When does he have Kvitzas Aderech? When he goes back, it's on the return flight. When he realizes, oh, I passed Efshar Avarti Amokim Shespalu Avoisai. So now he gets Kvitzas Aderech going back. So now, Chasam Sofer makes a very subtle observation. Eliezer has Kvitzas Aderech when he's going towards Rivka. Yaakov, when he's going towards Haran, he didn't have Kvitzas Aderech. He had Kvitzas Aderech when he realized that he had to go back. So he says, what's the pshat? He says, because Eliezer was a Kanani. Eliezer was a Kanani. He was leaving Eretz Yisrael. He was on his way to Chutz Laaretz to go find a wife for Yitzchak. There was a maisa of a similar banim that the Kananim are going to be quickly thrown out of the land so that the Yidden can one day settle the land. Yaakov Avinu didn't have Kvitzas Aderech when he was leaving Be'er Sheva to go to Haran. Says the Chasam Sofer, what would that mean? That would mean that the Yidden are going to be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. That's not a good thing. It was faket. When he's going back to Eretz Yisrael, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the Kvitzas Aderech. He told him, I saw a similar banim, that it's true, the Yidden, you're going to be in a terrible place, Sarah, it's going to be horrible. But don't forget, you're going to come back to Yerushalayim, and it's going to be Kvitzas Aderech. That's the and it's going to be, we're going to be able to go back, back to the Harabayas, Yerushalayim, Habanuya. That's where the Ma'isam of Simlavana played it out. For Eliezer, Eved Avram, the Knani, the Kvitz Aderech was leaving Eretz Yisrael. For Yaakov Avinu, the Must Yukna, Yestachas Kisei Yaakov, what's the Kvitz Aderech? The Kvitz Aderech is when he's going back to Eretz Yisrael. Either way, the Ramban talks about this in a few different places, and then there's the punchline as it relates to our sugya. The Yaakov Avinu is fighting against Sarish Al Esav, and there's a battle, and it goes through the night, literally until the Alois HaShachar, and as much as Sarish Al Esav tries hurting and perhaps killing Yaakov Avinu, he was unsuccessful. He dislocated his hip, and Yaakov Avinu was limping afterwards. So he definitely bruised it, but at the same time, he was unsuccessful. Says the Ramban, quoting a Medrash, for Amru B'Breishis Rabba, Naga B'chola Tzadikim Sha'asidim Liyos Mimenu, that when Sarai Shalesa was fighting with Yaakov, he wasn't just fighting with Yaakov. He has the same idea. There's a remez l'doiris. He was fighting with all the Jews and future generations. And a specific generation he mentions is that u'doiris shel shmad. Interesting. Ramban throws in, it's a medrash, a specific generation. V'inyan. Ki ha'ma'oira kulei remez l'doirisov. Lishitase to what Ramban, this is by the parish of Gidan Osho. So this Lishitase to what he said in his Akdama. Shiyador bezarishal Yaakov yiskaber Esav alein. There's going to be a generation, look at this, a generation where Zarishal Esav is going to be misgaber on Yaakov. And shiyah korev likakea beitzason. To the point where they're going to come close to exterminating the Jews. Vahoyozeh, which generation was this? This is Dor Echad bimechach mehamishna. The Ramban lived before the Holocaust. Maybe the Ramban would have chose Nazi Germany, 1939. But he says this was the dar, one of the daros of the Chachmei HaMishnah, Kedar Shel Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava VeChaverav. The dar of Yehuda Ben Bava. Of course, he's referring to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where Yehuda Ben Bava realized that there were no more smuchin, there were no yidden that had smicha, which meant that the Messiah of smicha was going to be chopped up. So he went between two mountains and he gave smicha to five tzaddikim, Rabbi Akiva, etc. And these were the gedolim that he gave smicha to, and they end up killing Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava in a horrible way. And then he brings a chazal that talks about this, but says the Ramban that when Sarah Shel Esav was fighting with Yaakov Avinu, he wasn't just fighting with Yaakov Avinu, he was fighting with the Doiros of Yaakov Avinu. And in that story, there's a remez to different generations in the history of the Jews, and he picked one. He says the Doir of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. But then he says, V'yesh Doiros Acher, there were other generations as well. She'osa imanu kozeh, where Zarei Shel Esav did to us like what they did to the daughter of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, the Yoyser Ramizah. And then there were even worse generations. But we've been able to make it through. We're able to persevere. As the Torah says, right at the end of this, one of the very last words, the pasuk says, Vayova Yaakov Shalem. Yaakov was Shalem. He was limping, but it was shocked. But at the same time, Yaakov Avinu, he made it out alive. And that's the remez. The remez of the story of the Gid Hanasha, the remez of the battle is that there's going to be a fight and it's going to go through the night. But eventually, by Yizrach Le'Hashemesh, eventually the sun is going to rise. And that's the remez over here. Truth is, the Chinuch, in the Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Gimel says the same exact thing. He says, why is it such a big deal? Shloi Lechel Gid Hanasha is a lamdish of Perek. I mean, what? Why? Because it was a fight between Yaakov and Zarei Shel Esav. Mishroshe Mitzvah Zu. Kidei Sheti Remez Le'Yisrael. This is a reminder for the Jews. That even though there's going to be many generations where the Yidden are going to have to endure terrible tzaris, they should be self-confident, that the Jews will not be destroyed. The idea of the Gid Hanasha is to remember that no matter how bleak the situation might be, at the end of the day, there's going to be a liberation. There'll be a 1945. Where's the rem? Where do you see that in the Gid Hanasha? Because who is the Malach that was fighting with Yaakov? He was Sarei Shel Esav. He wanted to destroy Yaakov. Who? Vizara, for lo yochala, but he couldn't. Vitziarai benegias ayerech. He heard him. He heard him by hurting his thigh. Vichenzera esa mitzar lezera Yaakov. And this is a theme that will repeat itself throughout history. Ula besoit, but at the end, tielahem Yeshua mehem. The Yidden are going to have Yeshua. Kemoisha metzinu ba'av, shezorchalei Hashemesh, lorapoisoi, vanoisha menatzar, ken yizrach lono Hashemesh al Mashiach, virapenu mitzareinu v'yigolenu ame b'mheir v'yame. Same idea as the Ramban. That it's true there was a fight, it's true there was a battle. It's true we got bruised, 6 million, whatever. But at the end of the day, Vayova Yaakov Shalom. And it's for that reason we remember this episode, because it's so critical. It's so important. This is the third mitzvah. You open the sefer, it's the third mitzvah. Period. Verivya. Mila Shaloi Lachal Gid Hanasha. I mean, location, location, location. Think about where this is. It's because it's so vital to our Amunah and really for the mindset that the Yid has to have in Golis. You remember the Issa the Gid Hanasha, you remember that at the end of the day, Lo Yuchaloi, Vayove Yaakov Shalom, that's the punchline, that's the Yisoid of the Gid Hanasha. But just to end on this theme with one final Ara. So the Gemara mentioned Rav, that Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, Sha'alti is Rabbi Gamliel. This Rabbi Yeshua be'itla shel imo. He says, I was once in a butcher shop together with Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. We were going to buy meat. We were buying meat for the wedding of Rabbi Gamliel's son. And I turned to them, I asked them a question. It says, Vayizrach lo yashemesh. Lo, when the sun comes out, it's coming for one person, it comes for everybody. It says, so said Rabbi Akiva, shekesh, shemesh, shakabavuroi, zarcholoi. And I once heard from Yisachar friend, he said over, that he doesn't understand, what's in the Geya, the context of this drasha? Why doesn't the Gemara just say, Om Rabbi Akiva, Maitach Siv, Ayizrach Leah Shemesh, Vechiloi Lavadei Zorcha, Shemesh Shishak, Bavuri Zorcha, Bavuri. The Gemara gives a whole background to the story. You know where it took place? In a butcher shop. They're going to buy meat for the wedding of Rabbi Gamliel's son. So he said over, B'Shem, a safer, a beautiful pshat. He said that the Gemara says in the end of This Perek Cheskes Habater. So at the end of a very long Perek, this is the very last Gemara, right before you say the words Hadron Aloch Cheskes Habater, Be'ema B'yira B'reses U'Bezeya. But either way, the very last Gemara. The Gemara says, Tanya, Om Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha witnessed Churban Bayit Sheni. And he said that from the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and now there's so many terrible gzeiros on Jews, it's so bad for a Jew to be alive. He says, if you'd ask me, I would make a gzeira that Yidden should not be allowed to get married. Don't procreate. Let the whole Jewish nation come to an end. Via Zarei Shel Avram Avinu, Kol Me'elav. What do we need Jews for? What? Bring them into this world? A world of such torture? It doesn't make any sense. Elo, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha said, Anachtam Yisrael, Mutav Shiyu Shogig Vayu Mazidim, they're going to have children anyways, so let them be a Shogig and not amazed, but really they're doing the wrong thing. And if you ask me, I'll make a gzeira, they shouldn't even be able to procreate. This was Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who witnessed Churban Bayit Sheni. He lived in that door right after the Churban. It was so bad for the Jews that he believed, Bezdin Paskind, that the right thing to do is to be Mevatel the first mitzvah in the Torah. Let's not have children. Taisas, the Kasha, Hazapah, whatever. But the point is that it's better to just let Zayir Shal Yisrael be Kolam Yehelov. So he said that, who are the Tanah? This is Rabbi Akiva, and this is Rabbi Gamliel, and this is Rabbi Yishu. These are the Chachmei Yavna. These were the Tanam that witnessed Churban Bayit Sheni. They were going to buy meat for the chasen of Rabbi Gamliel's son. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi. The Nasi's son is getting married. You know what kind of simcha this is supposed to be? There should be bright lights. There should be pashkevillin. The whole Klal Yisrael should come to a stop, to a pause. Because the Nasi's son, presumably the next Nasi, is getting married. This is the hemshech of Klal Yisrael. But you can imagine what the mood must have been. These were the same Tanoim whose Bezdin had paskind that Mutav Shiyu Shogeg Vayu Mazidin, that really the right thing to do would be Nimtzei Zayir Shel Avraham Avinu Kol Me'elav. So there's no question they're in the butcher shop. They're buying meat and the mood is not good. Rabbi Akiva saw that. It's Rabbi Akiva who had an uncanny ability to be able to menachem people. Rabbi Akiva who, when the Tanaim saw Shualim Hilchuba, they saw the fox emerging from the base Kodesh HaKadoshim, and everybody was crying. They said, the Mokan Shenema by Azara Karev Yumas. Now there's a shul, and what Rabbi Akiva say? L'kachani mitzachek, because he realized that if the terrible nevuas took place, then the beautiful nevuas are going to take place as well. And he said, if we're at the point where the nevuah of Uriah was niskayim, lochem beglalchem tzia, tzia and sadat icharesh, then the nevuah of Zechariah, oydeyeshvu zekeinim uskenes berchoy v'zirushalayim, is also going to be niskayim. And Rabbi Akiva turns to them and he says, no, you realize that all the nevuas are playing out. And if the bad nevuas are playing out, then eventually the good Nevuah is going to play out as well. And Amrulay, they turned to him and they said, Akiva nichamtanu. So Akiva saw the same thing. He saw this playing itself out again. And he realized the mood is terrible and everyone was so miyuyish. This should be the greatest day of the year. And instead, it's the worst day of the year. So what did Akiva do? He turned to me. He said, Rabbi, we're forgetting the Ramban in the beginning of Parashas Vayishlach. It's true that it was terrible. And Yaakov had a fight. And he fought and he fought. But the fight came to an end. He only had a fight until Alois HaShachar. But once the sun rose, it was Vayizrach Lo Yashemesh. It was Vayyove Yaakov Sholem. Akin Lo Yoichu B'nei Yisrael. Sagid Anosha. Said Rabbi Akiva that we have to be in a chas. Rabbi Akiva, it was Akiva Nichamtanu.